Good morning. I hope the thought running through your mind right now isn't, oh no, there's another one. We are thrilled to be with you this morning. I specifically am. You guys help support my family to attend the school there. And so I have a personal, specific thankfulness for you. The school in general is thankful for you. This opportunity that you provide for us to come here and to practice on you, if you will, is an invaluable tool. The only way that we can get better at doing what we're doing is by doing it. The school has been said, has many good teachers that are providing the knowledge for us, but you are providing the atmosphere for us to actually be able to put into action what we're striving to do. As you've seen, if you were able to be with us yesterday and with Brother Todd this morning, I'm in school with a bunch of great guys that love the Lord and are doing an excellent job. I mean, sometimes you wish you could pick who you follow, but following all of these guys this weekend is tough to come behind. This morning, I want you to know that one thing that really excites me is visiting a church family like this, and I hope you take this the right way. But you have a racially diverse auditorium, and praise God for that. You know, so many times our worship assemblies are the most segregated places we have. And I picture heaven looking a lot like your audience does this morning. And I just, that excites me. And it also excites me to see that on your Lord's table this morning, the workers were some young men. I know you guys are involved in the Lads Leaders program. You heard in the announcement, our family is involved with that. We are gung-ho on the Lads Leaders program. We are gung-ho on helping young people be all they can be. I know when you're young, a lot of times you think, Mom, Dad, why are you making me do this? But I believe that part of the reason that I can confidently speak before you today is because my mama made me participate in Lads Leaders in third, fourth grade. And at the time, I'm here to tell you, I put up some fights with my mama, okay? But I praise God that my mama persevered for doing that when I was younger. And so I thank you for being diligent in training your children up, and hopefully they will continue to maintain that and do likewise when they have children. This morning, the title of my lesson is, Will You Be Called Good and Faithful on Test Day? I hope that's something you think about a lot. Of course, I'm in school, so I think of tests a lot, so that's why I put that cute little twist on there on test day. But I'm afraid that day that we're referring to for many, 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 many people will not be a good day. And I want to place a burden on your heart to where you will think strong about that, not for yourselves only. You need to think about it for yourselves, but you will also think about it for the sake of your neighbors, for the sake of your coworkers, for the sake of your schoolmates, wherever you find yourself. I hope this is a burden that really struggles. It challenges you to truly be a Christian. In a moment, we're going to be reading out of James chapter 1. If you want to turn there, you may. But before we get there, I'm going to tell you a little story. We used to be in the sand and gravel mining business. That probably means nothing to a lot of you. Basically, we had really big tractors and dug really big holes in the ground, washed this material and sold it to concrete and asphalt plants and that kind of thing. I was basically a one-man show. I had myself. Amber did all of the inside work. And we also had our kids went to work with us. She homeschools. And so we had a few employees that helped, you know, load trucks and that kind of thing. But I was the salesman. I was the repairman. You name it, I did it. So I was a busy man. Well, my daughter decides she wants to play softball. Well, I have to figure out a time to stop by and sign her up for softball. Doesn't seem like that challenging of a task, does it? These people provided many, many opportunities for you to come by and sign them up. I mean, you could come by on Tuesday afternoon, Thursday afternoon, Friday afternoon, all day Saturday. They just provide, and they did this for like 3 weeks. Well, of course, as a lot of people, I showed up at the last minute, at the very last moment that you could possibly sign your child up for it. And there was this husband and wife sitting in there, and I asked, just out of curiosity, I said, were you the guys, the folks that sat up here all these hours for us to be able to come by and sign up? And the lady said, yes, sir, we were. And I said, well, how do you possibly have the time to do that? And what that lady answered me it just really has stuck with me. And I hope you'll pay attention to this phrase. It's all in what your priorities are. It's all in what your priorities are. You know, they hadn't made the priority to do that task. You know, I'm grateful they did. I'm not saying anything negative about what they chose to do, but I want you sitting in this audience this morning to think about, what are your priorities? What do you sell when you go out in public amongst your friends and neighbors? What do they see in you? What are you portraying your priorities are? Whether you know it or not, from the youngest one in here to the oldest one in here, there's someone that's paying attention to what you do and how you act. You may not realize that. Many of us don't realize that. Many of us think nobody knows that I even exist. But I'm here to tell you, I've got a 4-year-old that I know people that are watching what that 4-year-old does. I've had them tell me. Anyway, I hope you take that serious. One thing I want you to think about this morning is, how do you spend your money? You know, used to we all had checkbooks, you know. Electronic age, most of us have debit cards. I hope you don't have too many credit cards, but that's another lesson. But if we took our bank statements or we took our checkbooks and we decided to disperse them among the audience today, and everyone could see exactly how we spent our money this past week, month, year, would we be ashamed? Would it portray what we're hoping we're portraying? You know, those of us that have kids, our kids see who we really are. You know, a lot of times we're able to fool people that, you know, when we come to church and we all look pretty, you know, we go to our works, I didn't where I used to work, but anyway, you know, we all do our best to put on our best front. But what would people say about that? You know, there again, let's think about your time. And I don't mean just the time that you're here and you do look pretty. I mean your private time. I mean time when nobody really knows, except for you and God, what's going down with you. What would people say if they knew those secret moments that you have? Would you be embarrassed? If we asked your coworkers, what do you think about Susie Joe being at church here this morning? Would they say, you've got to be kidding. There's no way that woman's at church this morning. Or praise God, would they say, absolutely. She is God-fearing, God-living constantly. You know, if there's dirty jokes being told, she excuses herself and goes somewhere else. If there's something going on that's not right, she excuses herself and goes another way. How would our coworkers, people who, after a long time, they know us almost like our family. Because a lot of times we spend more time with our coworkers than we do with our family. I wish that wasn't a true statement, but I'm afraid in our society today that's where we're at. I know you're thinking, man, you got a lot of questions. Is just showing up this morning and being in this auditorium, is that enough to get you to heaven? Or let's take it another step. We've been baptized. Is that enough to get us into heaven? Is that enough to do what we need to do? I hope to convict you that it absolutely is not. Now we're going to go to James. James chapter 1, we're all going to use the first 4 verses there. I hope you've turned there already, but James chapter 1, starting with verse 1, says, James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greetings. I love the way these guys start their letters. You know, they always have that greeting. I had a friend of mine call me from Jamaica one time, and he said, greetings from Jamaica, Jeremy. And I just felt like, wow, I'm talking to somebody from the Bible here. But more specifically, I want you to focus on that word bondservant. You know, as I understand it, that word bondservant has sort of a connotation of like I've sold myself into slavery. I want you to think about that as who we are as Christians. We have to choose to put ourselves into slavery under God's rule, God's will. God doesn't force us to do that. We have choices to make. And how about, how do you start your letters? That's a neat thought to me. You know, this guy, the first thing he says, I want you to know who I'm writing to, that I am a servant of God. What better thing could you let somebody know that that's who you're trying to be? Moving on to verse 2, says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. You know, you may be thinking, what is that guy talking about? count it joy when you fall into trials? I mean, there's just so many things in life that I find it difficult to be joyous in. Again, that is a choice that we have to make, is whether we're going to be joyous or not. The New American Standard Version there uses the word encounter various trials. You know, we all have different trials that we go through. You know, I think about a loved one dies. You know, one thing I really wish, and I've been to some funerals lately that I was excited about. Okay? I saw some eyes flicking over here. I know you're thinking, what? But think about where we are as Christians. Like Todd talked about this morning. You know, we should be leaping for joy at the hope that you and I are able to have as Christians. Jesus has paid that price for us. We don't have to go about our days with our head hung low, sorrowing over, I wonder if I'm going to make it in. God has paid that. He sent His Son to pay the price for us. I hope as Christians we get to a point to where, don't get me wrong, I remember plainly when my granddaddy died, I was a sad guy that day because I loved my granddaddy. But the other side of that is, I believe my granddaddy to be a faithful Christian, and I fully expect to see him in heaven. What a better way to rejoice than to know I'm going to see him again in heaven. And I hope that's the way you can look at it. I know in the midst of it, it's a lot easier to say today than it is on those days. But I hope as a family, we can come together and help build each other up through those times of struggles. The other side of this situation is, though, those that we don't believe to be saved. You know, those are true struggles. Those are struggles that it almost seems like you can't make it through at times. But, you know, we all have different things. You know, you think about children that you have that fall away. You know, you think about you have done all that you know to do to be the best mom and dad that you can be. And then they grow up, life happens, they fall away. That's a terrible struggle. You know, recently we had the stock market situation, and I guess we're still feeling the effects of that. I've got some friends up in Michigan that they had just about the same time you guys did, I guess, built a new auditorium and that kind of thing. They were booming. They were overflowing. They needed the space. Well, now they have a 700-seat auditorium. They only have about 300 members because people had to go seeking jobs. You know, you don't really think about a whole lot, I guess, about financial crisis hitting church families. But, or you may, I don't know. But I do not. But I'm very aware in that situation that it has. You know, we could go on through several things. You know, you experience car wrecks, divorces, you name it. We all have got things that we're tempted with. You know, let's move on to verse 3. It says, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Verse 4 also, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. You know, I oftentimes think of a good friend of mine. I call him a good friend. To be honest with you, I don't know a whole lot about him. He taught us for one quarter. But out of that one quarter, I count him as a friend. Because I know this man loves God through and through. He was our evangelism teacher. He takes us on our evangelism door knocking campaign every year. His name is Bill Bryant. You know, he suffered a tragedy in his life a few years ago. I don't even know how many years ago it was. But he shares this story with us in our evangelism class, talking about his wife that he loved. And, you know, to say he loved his wife, you want to say, you might be thinking, well, doesn't everybody love their wife? But, you know, there's a difference between loving your wife and loving your wife. You know, this guy had the relationship that I feel like I have with my wife. You know, if something happened to my wife, that's going to be a day that I'm going to be trying to rejoice like I was just talking about, but it's going to be rough. But, you know, Mr. Bill had a choice to make on that day. He could say, God, I've served you faithfully. God, I've done all I know to do. God, why? God, why? But you know what Bill Bryant chose to do? I'm sure he had a lull there. I mean, if he didn't, probably something wrong with him. But he teaches our evangelism class and does a fantastic job at it. Bill Bryant chose to accept that God is God and tragedy is a tragedy. He still obviously, when he tells that story, everybody in the class is in tears. And we're all men, so, you know. Yeah, that's right. But I appreciate people to have that. He has gone through a struggle, a trial, but yet he chooses to use that. Now, let's just say we have a death in the congregation similar to that. Who do we call? Do we call somebody that's never even experienced death before? No, you call the Bill Bryants of the world that have suffered that tragedy. You call somebody that knows how to react, how to respond in that type of situation. You know, tragedies and struggles and that type of stuff are no fun when we're going through them. But there's some way that trial can and will be used in the future. And I hope you can see that. I hope you can acknowledge to yourself when you're going through trials that God is God and there is a reason for what you're going through. I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. And we're going to look at what Jesus did with temptation. I'm going to read this fairly quickly and then we'll talk about it a little bit. Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11 says, "Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil." Now this next verse is the kind of verse that I find humorous. It's okay to laugh at the Bible, incidentally. It says, "And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights," this is the line, "afterward he was hungry." I want to say, really? that's just me. I'm weird. Verse 3 says, "Now the tempter came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Then the devil took him up into the holy city, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone." Verse 7 says, "Jesus said to him, it is written, again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. And again the devil took him on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world there. And he said to him, all these things I will give you if you fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said to him, away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you worship. Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him." As was mentioned earlier, how did Jesus respond to these temptations? Did he say, oh, well, Satan, you know, I probably shouldn't do that because, you know. No, he responded with Scripture. Each time he responded with Scripture. Now, as was mentioned earlier, Satan tried to drop a little Scripture in there himself. Sounded pretty impressive, but however, he was using it out of context. You know, Satan tried to make it look like, you know, look, you know, if you do this here, I can get you out of that whole cross thing. You know, all you've got to do is worship me and we'll call it even. But you know, when we're faced with stuff like that that sounds too good to be true, we need to remember who it is that we're dealing with. Turn over to, how about John chapter 8? John chapter 8, verses 37 through 44. John 8, 37 through 44 says, "I know you are Abraham's descendants, but you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. I speak what I have seen with my father, and you do what you have seen with your father." They answered and said to him, "Abraham is our father." You could just see the perplexed, what are you talking about look on their face. Jesus said to them, "If you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God. Abraham did not do this." Verse 41 says, "You do the deeds of your father." Then they said to him, "We were not born of fornication. We have one father, God." Jesus said to them, "If God were your father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God, nor have I come of myself, but he sent me." Jesus Christ is saying, I didn't come on my own account. I came because of the Father and for what He wanted me to do. Verse 43 says, why do you not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen to my word. You are of your father the devil, and the desire of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of lies. When we are faced with struggles and trials, we've got to really dig deep and figure out, are we being truthful? Do we understand the reality of the situation we're in? Or do we have Satan trying to use this situation to take us out in our Christianity? You know, we can go all the way back to the beginning in the story of Genesis and Adam and Eve in the garden. Think about how many words Satan had to change from what God said to mess us all up. The woman said, God says we shall not eat of the fruit of the garden. And the day that we do, we will surely die. What did Satan say? He said, you will not surely die. He didn't go on this elaborate, well, I don't want to say that. But anyway, he didn't go down this long trail building this big story about all this. He really basically just changed one line there. How easily we can get tripped up and stumbled. That's the purpose of a family of people like this. We don't come to a church family to serve our time. We come here because God knows that we are going to mess up. God has developed this setting for us to be able to hold one another up, to help a brother. When we see a brother or sister struggling in a trial, we're to be there to help them through that. No, don't eat of that tree. We've got to know one another as family. You know, we use that word sometimes almost flippantly. But I hope that you haven't grown up in a bad family situation, and that's why you have a negative family image. But I was very blessed in the home I grew up in. And I hope many of you were as well. But a church family is to help one another make it to heaven. That's the sole purpose of what we're here for, is to praise God and to help one another make it, to stand before Him, to be able to hear that, welcome home, good and faithful servant. We're going to just skip straight to the end. Go to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25, starting at verse 31. And this is what I'm referring to as test day. Starting in verse 31 says, when the Son of Man comes in the glory and all the holy angels with Him, then He will sit on the throne of His glory. All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate them one from another as a shepherd divides his sheep from his goat. Today's lesson is about you choosing, are you going to be in that sheep category or in that goat category? It's your choice to make. Let's move on. Verse 33. And he will set the sheep on his right hand, but the goat on his left. Then the king will say to those on his left hand, I want you to just place your name in there, Jeremy. Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you as a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick and in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these brethren, my brethren, you did it to me. Praise God, I hope on the end of time, when you stand before God in judgment, you will hear your name spoken, and then you will hear those words. I hope you don't hear this. Verse 41 says, then he will also say to those on the left hand, also plug your name in here. Jeremy. Depart from me. You cursed into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not take me in. I was naked, and you did not clothe me, sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they also will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry, or thirsty, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister to you? Then he will say to them, saying, assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. I hope you do not hear this last line. And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous, I hope you do hear this part, but the righteous into eternal life. Walking the Christian walk is a lot of work. It takes choices on a daily basis. It takes choices on a minute-by-minute basis sometimes. I hope your personal families are set up in a fashion to help encourage, if you have children, to encourage your children that they see mom and daddy living that life, that they see this isn't just something we do on Sunday to look pretty for other people. If you don't have children, if you're just a husband and a wife, I hope your mate can depend on you to help them to heaven. If you're single, I hope that you have a network of people, such as this church family here, that you know you can count on. You have a beautiful building, but I think we'll all agree this building has nothing to do with it. It is a very useful, valuable tool that God has blessed you with to be able to use. And I pray you get to a day, I hope you get to a day soon, that you will all be complaining about being so crunched together that you need to add on or you need to do something else. The only way that will happen is if we live our lives as we go through the world in a way that tells people that this is who we are. This is not just something we do. If you cut me open, I'm going to bleed Christian blood. I hope that's where you are. If you're not, this church family wants to be able to lift you up. I know you do. I know you lift me up in the way you help us be able to go to school and all. If you are here as a Christian this morning and you have some struggle that you just can't seem to conquer on your own, don't stay out there and wait until you're about to die before you ask for help. Come up here. I hate to tell you this part. You may already know this part. If you're struggling, this may be what's keeping you from coming. There are people in this very room that will say, what do you think that person did? What, do you think they did this? But do not let that stop you from coming up here. The majority of this church family wants to come around you, wants to hug you, wants to lift you up, wants to do our best to see you through whatever struggle you're going through. And I hope you don't take those as empty words. I think that's who this church is. And I hope that you feel confident in doing that. Now, if you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, please don't wait. We have no idea how long we can live. You know, we may all live to we're 110 years old. Odds are stacked against that. We may pull out here, driveway this morning. Yesterday I was riding with one of our host family. Anyway, I was riding with, oh man, names are a curse to me. But anyway, we were pulling out on the road out here. That's the point. And I said, this is kind of like pulling out on a raceway. Now, how quickly our life can be taken from us. Now, I don't want to use that as a scare tactic. I just want you to think. That's all I want you to do. I want you to think we're not promised tomorrow. I'm not promised. I may trip off this stage right now. But if you're here this morning and you're thinking strong about becoming a Christian, act on those thoughts. If you need help making the final decision, come up. I mean, ask for help. Ask, say, I've got some questions. You know, there's some of this stuff that doesn't make sense. And at first reading, there's some of this stuff that I struggle with. And I'm a preaching student, okay? If you need help studying God's Word, ask for it. I thank you for your time. And I just pray that if you have a need, that you'll come forward this morning as we stand and sing.